Good morning, I'm Andrew Dyer, in for Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, June 13th. A federal judge says President Trump illegally deployed the National Guard to Los Angeles. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Senator Alex Padilla was confronted by officers yesterday when he interrupted a Homeland Security press conference in L.A. As Padilla identified himself, officers forcibly removed him from the room, pinned him to the floor, and began to handcuff him. Padilla spoke about the incident afterwards.
If this is how the Department of Homeland Security responds to a senator with a question, you can only imagine what they're doing to farm workers, to cooks, to day laborers out in the Los Angeles community and throughout California and throughout the country. We will hold this administration accountable.
The altercation led to swift condemnation from Democrats. A new federal lawsuit filed in San Diego says the Trump administration has illegally shut off access to asylum at the U.S.-Mexico border. The class action suit says the administration pulled the rug out from people waiting months for asylum appointments through the CBP One app. Trump canceled all those appointments on his first day back in office and ended use of the CBP One app. The 11 named plaintiffs in the lawsuit hail from 8 countries, including Mexico, Russia, and Afghanistan. Thousands of area grocery store workers voted yesterday to authorize a strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union represents more than 30,000 workers across Southern California, about 7,200 of those here in San Diego County. The union alleges Vons, Albertsons, and Ralphs are engaged in unfair labor practices. Albertsons told KPBS last month that it's committed to productive discussions with the union and are negotiating in good faith. Contract negotiations are set to resume June 25th. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Now on The Finest Podcast, the NPR Tiny Desk Contest. We bring you the history of the concert series and the competition and hear from artists behind our favorite local entries.
We're just very tired of hearing music that doesn't represent the people or is very nonsense or just dumbing people down. People want to relate to the music that they're listening to. People want to hear people's stories or struggles.
Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
We live in response to a monarchy. Those are the words of a federal judge in court yesterday before he ruled against the Trump administration's military deployment of troops. Trump issued the order in response to protests over immigration raids. Public Matters reporter Amita Sharma says the decision may not be the final word in this pivotal moment in American democracy. She spoke with Debbie Cruz.
What happened in federal court?
Well, first, Debbie, the Trump administration has said that the deployment of 700 Marines and 4,000 National Guards to Los Angeles was necessary to help shield immigration enforcement operations from protesters. And before a judge, attorneys for the administration argued that it is not the court's job to interfere in the president's decision. During a hearing over the matter, federal Judge Breyer pushed back, saying that the president's authority is limited. He said, and I quote, "That's the difference between the president and King George." Breyer ruled that Trump's actions were illegal, both exceeding the scope of his statutory authority and violating the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution. The ruling is scheduled to take effect today at noon and last until June 20th. Now, Breyer did not rule on the president's deployment of the Marines as of yet. Earlier this week, California Governor Gavin Newsom and Attorney General Rob Bonta asked the judge to block the deployment, contending it was unconstitutional, trampled on state sovereignty, and only escalated civil unrest. Newsom warned in a speech Tuesday that Trump's decision to send the National Guard over his objections should, in fact, worry everyone.
This is about all of us. This is about you. California may be first, but it clearly will not end here. Other states are next. Democracy is next.
This is not a clear-cut legal case, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, former San Diego U.S. Attorney Carol Lamb told me, while it is relatively unusual to bypass a governor and deploy the National Guard, consent of the governor is not explicitly required. She says Judge Breyer references the 10th Amendment because he's trying to get the correct balance between the rights of the state government and the rights of the president. She said President Trump's descriptions of the threat posed by the LA protests, such as insurrection, incursion, invasion, were deliberate and intended to fit in with federal statutes.
I think we've seen here a situation where the president of the United States has decided that he will take every tool in his toolbox to assert his authority. That's an extremely dangerous situation for our democracy.
Amitha, you spoke with San Diego Democratic Congressman Mike Levin this week about the deployment. What did he tell you?
He was troubled. Congressman Levin said he had asked key administration officials for the legal rationale for sending the Marines to Los Angeles, but got no answers. He said, look, the military is subject to what's called posse comitatus, meaning troops cannot do any civilian law enforcement. He believes the deployment goes beyond the administration's stated purpose of protecting these immigration raids.
Fear and intimidation. I think it's showing power through the use of our military as never before in recent American history. Our military, our Marines, they don't deserve this kind of garbage.
The clash between the Trump administration and Governor Newsom and California seems personal.
You know, Debbie, that President Trump and California have sparred in court over climate change, guns, and reproductive rights, even dating back to the first Trump administration. And Trump himself refers to Newsom as new scum. UC San Diego political scientist Thad Kauser framed the ICE raids this last week, the protests, and Trump's military deployment as part of a long-running feud between the president and California. Kauser pointed to Trump's statement this week that Newsom should be arrested for the crime of running for office. Kauser says if carried out, that would be a slide toward authoritarianism.
Anytime you have a president who has just activated the National Guard above and beyond a governor's wishes, who has called up the Marines to move into a situation as yet an unspecified mission, and then talks about arresting a governor for nothing more than running for office, that moves us into just a territory that we have not seen.
And just building on the point of territory we have not seen, California U.S. Senator Alex Padilla was just forcibly removed from a news conference put on by the Department of Homeland Security in Los Angeles. He was thrown to the ground and handcuffed after trying to ask questions.
That was reporter Amitha Sharma speaking with Debbie Cruz. These protests have since spread to other cities beyond Los Angeles, and protests are planned on Saturday here in San Diego. Follow KPBS for ongoing coverage. The state budget deadline is Sunday. California is facing a $12 billion deficit. This week, state lawmakers voted to move forward with Medi-Cal cuts that could affect thousands of immigrants without legal status living in California. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco explains why some critics say even a legislative compromise cuts too much.
In January, Governor Gavin Newsom proposed sweeping changes to Medi-Cal, California's public health program for low-income residents. On Tuesday, state lawmakers voted to modify parts of Newsom's plan. The revised plan freezes new Medi-Cal enrollment for immigrant adults without legal status starting in 2026. It also lowers the monthly premium. Lawmakers also rejected eliminating long-term and in-home care services. More than two dozen local healthcare workers signed a letter this month urging Senator Akilah Weber-Pearson to reject the plan. Pediatrician Maya Kumar is one of them.
But I just feel like there are some things that should be untouchable, and healthcare should be one of them.
Despite the opposition, Senator Weber voted yes on the modified plan.
people don't go into this to take things away. I know I didn't. You know, unfortunately, this is where we are right now from a financial standpoint.
The legislature and governor have until June 15th to finalize and pass the budget. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
The state is launching a new mortgage assistance program this week to help homeowners impacted by recent disasters. Reporter Jacob Ayer says that includes the people affected by the January 2024 flooding in San Diego.
The new CalAssist Mortgage Fund program is now offering help for disaster victims whose homes were destroyed or left uninhabitable by recent disasters. Eligible homeowners can receive 3 months of their mortgage payments or a maximum of $20,000 in grant funds. William Valadez's basement in his Southcrest home flooded during the January 2024 storms. He tried to apply to the new program Thursday morning, but says the site wasn't working.
We need help. Our community needs help, and you know, every dime counts. You know, like every assistant helps for, you know, to rebuild our houses and stuff.
Funds are limited, and it's first come, first serve. A state spokesperson says they expect to be able to help about 10,000 homeowners. To apply, visit CalAssistMortgageFund.org. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Commuters in North County know the traffic headache that is the 1578 interchange. Caltrans plans to build a connector express lane from Interstate 15 onto State Route 78 through San Marcos. North County reporter Alexander Wynn has more on the just-completed draft environmental impact report.
Right now, in order to get on State Route 78 from the express lane on Interstate 15, you need to cross over five lanes of traffic, at the same time dodging incoming traffic from West Valley Parkway. That's why Caltrans, Sandag, and the city of San Marcos want to build a new connector ramp between the existing express lane and 3 miles of newly proposed express lane on the 78. Victor Mercado is the North County Corridor Director for Caltrans.
This project will reduce congestion and travel times in the area, as well as encourage the usage of carpool.
This project has been in the works for a while. The environmental impact study began in 2019. Now that the draft is out, Caltrans is asking for feedback from the public. The project is expected to cost $490 million and could be completed by 2030. The deadline to submit comments is July 7th. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
It's Friday the 13th, so naturally, we turn to cinema junkie Beth Accomando to reflect on the slasher franchise that's been going strong for 45 years. It's had a huge influence on the horror genre, even reaching across the border into Mexico.
Friday the 13th was considered cursed long before the first Friday the 13th movie unspooled on screens 45 years ago. But the franchise's boogeyman killer, Jason, with his trademark hockey mask and machete, adorns most of the memes you'll see popping up in your feed today. There's no denying that the horror icon has become synonymous with this day. The horror genre doesn't get a whole lot of respect, and slasher films are some of the most maligned. Since Norman Bates slashed his way through Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho in 1960, people have criticized the subgenre for everything from misogyny to gratuitous violence to formulaic plotting. But honestly, when life gets too frustrating or the real world too scary, I tend to seek refuge in the safe harbor of a cinema to watch horror movies. There's comfort in the formula, and the violence can be a release for anxiety and fears. And yes, to horror fans, slasher films can also be fun. Gabby Moreno, aka 7 Octobers, hosts a hip-hop and horror podcast. She was weaned on genre films at the local Blockbuster her family frequented.
We gravitated towards slasher films because, of course, they were big at that time in the 80s and early 90s. And so Friday the 13th was my first introduction. I fell in love with Jason.
But rather than seeing Jason's slaying of women as misogynistic, Moreno reveled in the triumphs of the surviving final girls in the franchise.
Like the girls being badasses, getting their revenge and killing the bad guy at the end of the movie, that was really dope.
The box office success of Friday the 13th, as well as its predecessor Halloween, inspired not just U.S. filmmakers, but also creators around the globe, including south of the border. Armando Hernandez hosts the podcast Trash Mex, which is dedicated to Mexican genre cinema. He has a favorite Mexican film inspired by Friday the 13th.
Grave Robbers or Ladrones de Tumbas from 1989. This is what a Mexican slasher should be like. Ruben Galindo Jr., the director, he's known for directing several of the Mexican horror films from the 80s, which includes Don't Panic, Cemetery of Terror, which I also really love.
Grave Robbers has many of the tropes of the American slasher film, starting with a group of kids out in the woods. But director Ruben Galindo Jr. also throws in some Mexican flavor. As a heavily Catholic country, this slasher serves up a backstory from Spanish colonial times involving a leader of a satanic cult condemned to eternal damnation. Then, the young grave robbers of the title accidentally free him from his curse. Hernandez points out another variation on the slasher formula. The characters are not teenagers.
They're like 20-year-olds. They're just stealing stuff. You know, they're not even there to party or anything. They're just there to like steal from the grave sites. Like, they're not there to party. They're like, no, we're going to steal this jewel, these expensive jewels from these graves, or we're going to make a lot of money. You know, we'll party later.
Grave Robbers is one of the best films to be restored from Mexico's oft-overlooked horror boom, which is why I'm thrilled to be part of the Film Geeks programming team bringing it to San Diego on Sunday. Hernandez is a strong advocate for seeing films in a cinema, which is why he'll be providing the virtual introduction. He's also curating a film series showcasing newly restored El Santo wrestling films at the Frida Cinema in Orange County. El Santo, Blue
Demon, and In Máscara. So it's cool to see either a Mexican slasher or a lucha film. It's always cool to show these movies to people. And if they're not familiar with the culture, you know, it's nice to see them to kind of interact with it and be like, oh, wow, this is cool. You know, this is interesting, you know. And of course, you know, the theater experience is always very important. You know, you have to go see a movie in the theater if you get the chance to. You're going to enjoy Grave Robbers. If you're going to come out there and be like, wow, this was really good. I need to see more.
So if you want to extend the Friday the 13th horror vibe to Sunday the 15th, there's no better film than Grave Robbers. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
Grave Robbers screens this Sunday at noon at Digital Gym Cinema as part of the Film Geeks International Horror Series. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. For your next listen, check out KPBS Roundtable this afternoon. Today's show features discussions on the immigration raids and the military response. San Diego News Now was produced this week by Brendan Tucciardi and me, Andrew Dyer. It was edited by Brooke Ruth and Quinn Owen. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Now on the Finest Podcast, the NPR Tiny Desk Contest. We bring you the history of the concert series and the competition and hear from the artists behind our favorite local entries. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.